Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
All right, welcome to the Biz for Good show. Dang it, we wanted to hear the intro. Everybody else heard the intro, but for some reason we did not. So, oh well.
Yeah, well, it's good to be part of the audience and not be in the studio,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Welcome to the Biz for Good show. We're, as always, we're doing something new. We're checking things out. We have a new technical director who is assisting us out. Everyone say hello to Sky Tomlinson. Sky, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
She is taking care of all the technicals, so you won't see me running around doing so much technical junk. And, of course, the Ryan Pilkington is not here today. Ryan has had to run off and do some craziness. He, you know, the life of an entrepreneur, always going crazy, doing some fun stuff. So we have Kevin, Mr. Kevin Taylor, here in the bow tie. He's taking this crap very seriously.
See, I thought it was Professor.
Oh, that's right. Professor Taylor.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I get a, I am the one who's been charged to try and keep this ship going the right direction. And I don't know if you've ever listened to one of these before, but even Ryan struggles with that. So we're going to see how I do as the straight man co-host today without getting completely distracted by wherever this thing's going.
Oh, well, Josh is here. He'll help us all. Josh will help us all stay in line, right? Joshua, did you know what you were getting into?
I did. I'm actually quite a fan, actually. Biz for Good show. I have listened to every single episode as of yesterday.
Wow. Nice. That is awesome. So anybody that does that, we have you on the show. No, actually, Josh is an amazing guest. He's doing amazing things. So we are grateful to have Joshua here to be with us today.
Well, you know, he wouldn't be on the show if he weren't amazing, because all the guests on this show are amazing.
They are amazing guests. Josh is absolutely one. That is the criteria for being on the show. You have to be amazing.
Absolutely. So it is so cool to have Josh here. And it turns out when we have a guest on the show, especially if there's a guest host to go along with him, we give the guest every job.
Yes!
Which means as a guest host, basically I'm the window dressing, I'm the eye candy, and if anybody's actually watching the video of this, you'll know how funny that idea is.
And the sad part is your spit guard is covering up your bow tie. You can't see it.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's really good.
Oh, there we go. Much better. All right, well, let's just jump in. Josh has taken on the challenge of being a part of segments today. So thank you, Josh. And we just decided to give him all the segments.
We did. You know, why take on all the work if your guest is going to do it for you?
Absolutely.
So we're going to have Josh start us out here in our segments with the biz hack of the day, which we've labeled informally the innovation inspiration. So Josh, take it away. Tell us about this.
And to be fair to Josh, he did... every time we said something, he goes, oh, hey, I got something for that. Oh, I got something. So thank you for taking that on. Go ahead, Kevin.
All right, so lead us in.
So the biz hack for today is look for innovation and inspiration in your business, whether it's in marketing or it's your business design, from not your competition. Don't look at your competition. Look at those brands that really inspire you. Look at something that you really enjoy, a product that you really enjoy, or a service or a brand that you really enjoy, and look for things that you can do to implement in your business in a different way, and that will help you to innovate in a different way.
So why is it, I think let's just kind of open this up, because I think this is a deep topic. So often we do end up looking at the direct competition. Ford looks at Chevy, you know, Apple and Microsoft are always bouncing their OS off each other. Why do we not have, say, a software company looking at IKEA for inspiration? Where do we, is it just easier to look at your competition? Why do we not go out and and get a little more creative with this stuff.
It's because it's really relatable, right? Because we can look at something and say, oh, I can do something like that. But then again, you're just copying someone and it looks the same and it's not really innovating. It's not really creating something new. And if you can take a different industry entirely and try to apply a different industry's good things in your own industry and in your own business, that's where innovation really starts to come up. It's not really something completely new, but it is something completely new in your industry.
All right.
Awesome. I love it.
I like that. So
love it.
Our goal with this then is to get a little bit creative and not just follow.
Yeah. Everybody spends so much time on finding out what the competition is doing when sometimes the real innovators are completely separate. There's somebody that you could learn from and not necessarily focus on, oh, what's that? What's the number one guy doing in my industry?
Right. Well, and maybe not use Apple, because everybody uses Apple already, right? So find some innovation in an industry that's separate and just try not to use Apple, because everybody already does that.
Well, you know, I think we could go back a few years.
Okay, then use Google, right?
Yeah, okay.
Then use Google. Is that better?
We could go back a few years to Pepsi and Coke.
Oh.
Where Pepsi was doing that their taste challenge. Mm-hmm. For those who are too young to remember, this all happened in the 80s. You could probably look it up somewhere on Google if you really want to. And Coke's response was not to look outside, not to look at other things, but to look directly at Pepsi and say, well, people like that taste. We better do a new taste. And for those who remember New Coke,
yeah,
you know how well that worked out. For those of you young enough to not remember New Coke, there's a reason. It was an abysmal failure. It went and Coke fans just rebelled. And that can happen when you just look straight at the competition and you don't recognize other things going on around you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Awesome. Biz hack. Go out and see what people are doing and see if you can make it fit your brand.
Be inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
So the good news, I guess this is Ryan's job to go through these segments, right? Am I getting that right? Whoa. And we just lost our screen. All right. Our note screen just went away, so we can't remember what our...
technology! We love technology! It's so bad, you see. Always and forever.
All right, who let Kip in the studio?
Okay, good news. All Josh right. has thankfully said, oh, hey, I know some good news. I know some cool stuff going on right now.
I actually just saw this today while I was kind of doing some going through the news feeds, but I saw, and it was surprising because I was listening to Biz for Good for the Biz for Good show, and just it sparked a thing in my head. This is good news.
Cool.
It's the Boxed app. If anybody's heard of the company Boxed app, the CEO
is BoxedApp.com.
I'm not even sure because I looked it up just this morning.
Ah.
But the Boxed
Kevin's
app,
on it. I can see it.
Yeah. See if I can locate something here.
The CEO, this was on the Today Show. The CEO is changing how millennials shop while offering employees a generous gift. So the Boxed app, they're like a Costco of sorts, but you do it all online and there's no membership. And this is kind of innovative, but the CEO is also doing something very innovative. He's very generous to his employees. He's given, he's paid for a wedding of his employees, and he's also paying for the employees' families' education. And I thought that was really amazing that a CEO is
like
doing
for
that.
Their kids.
For their
to
kids.
Go to school.
Yeah.
Whoa, not just the employee.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that is cool.
Which is also really cool when you look at this. So it's Boxed, BOXED.com for those who want to look it up. And it looks like it's basically an online Costco or Sam's Club type thing.
Yeah, except no membership.
Yeah, it's a wholesale club that you just order online. And so when you look at it, this isn't a company charging premium prices to do these benefits, to give this back to their employees. This is a company who's just committed to doing well, to doing good by their employees.
Wow.
Little hashtag be good, do good right there.
Definitely hashtag be good, do good.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. Thanks. That's cool. I love it. You know, it's so funny to me how everybody thinks or talks about business being this cutthroat thing, and I know I talk about this a lot, but there are so many powerful people out there doing good that in a business mindset, not just in a nonprofit, but I mean somebody that's making revenue, but the whole focus is to do good for people. That happens. We just don't hear about that on the news. It happens so much more than I think we out there give it. And I personally believe it's one of the big secrets to becoming ultra successful. If you really focus on doing good for people, it comes back.
I totally agree with that.
It's karma.
Yeah.
It's karma, right? I mean, it's not that karma's been around thousands of years.
And even before you get into the whole karma, you look at this, and for Boxed, taking care of their employees now know how the company feels about taking care of people. And so when they go out and deal with the customers, they can give that same experience. It's not the manager coming in and yelling at you because you treated an employee wrong and then expecting you to go do it right after that.
Right.
So I think, you know, when you look at being good in business and doing good, there's a lot of practical reasons for it too. Like, you know, this Boxed example brings up right here.
Yeah, it's and the quote, be good, do good, the hashtag there. You first got to be good. It's got to be a part of you, right? And then you can go out and do good, right? And if you are good and you're doing good in your business, that's when things come to you. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
It's real. It's real, people. Be good, do good. Business for good is real. It really happens every day. Okay. Quote of the day, friend. We have given this to Kevin. We knew Kevin had something inside him that needed to come out today. Go for it.
I can't believe we didn't give this to Josh too. He was on such a roll. All right, our quote of the day comes from Theodore Isaac Rubin. And I'd love
Theodore.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good old Teddy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'd love to tell you more about him, but all I know is he has his quote on Brainy quote here, so I'm going to just go for that. He says, happiness does not come from doing easy work, but from the afterglow of satisfaction that comes after the achievement of a difficult task that demanded our best.
So you mean challenge is actually going to benefit us?
Yeah.
Right? Challenge. But, you know, it's so funny. We talk about, I want to make my life happy and I don't want to have problems in the world and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be hurt and all that. And those are the things that make our life better because they challenge us and strengthen us and grow us and move us up. It's so funny that we're so scared of that when that's what makes us the great people that we become. Yeah. Sad.
And it makes us happy.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
If we had this our whole life.
Wait, isn't that flatlining?
Yeah, it is flatlining.
We know what happens when you flatline in the hospital. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, you're pretty much done.
Yeah.
So we love that. I'm a big fan of the roller coaster of life.
Yeah, you got to push yourself in order to go anywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you. Thank you, Kevin. You passed. You win. You got the job of doing
guest host for the day.
Yep. It's yours. It's all you.
That was a long audition.
All right. Let's jump in the interview. Are you ready for the interview, Josh?
I am ready for the interview.
There's a lot of pressure.
So let's start by letting people know, who is Josh Prieto?
So I am your BizBard, essentially. I am your BizBard. I am an epic brand storyteller.
You're going to have to explain your BizBard.
Yeah.
I see a boat somehow.
So if anybody knows what a bard is, Billy is the bard. Shakespeare, William Shakespeare is known as the bard, the greatest storyteller, right?
With a capital T and a capital B.
Yeah.
The
bard. William Shakespeare, Billy the bard. So our business, my wife and I have this business together that we've been working on, and it's about telling epic brand stories. We've been doing this for a little bit. It is a startup, and it's something that, we're very passionate about. It's again, we've created a story for ourselves, and we decided to live purposefully and tell our story. And this is a part of it. We recently just moved back from Montana, and we had an epic fail is what happened is we tried to live off grid. Yeah, we tried to live off grid for an extended period of time. We were hauling our own water. We bought raw land in Montana and had been living off the grid for a little while, and a winter really got us, and we froze up, and we had to pack up, and so that was part of an epic fail, but it's a part of our story, and it's part of something that we have been trying to create in our lives. And we were realizing that we still need to live intentionally, and we still need to create. So we packed up and we headed here to Utah, where I'm from, and we're living actually with our parents right now, because we literally just got kicked out of our place while we were living out there and froze up. So we didn't know what to do, but Emily had a photography business, and I was doing marketing consulting at the time. And we started going to this really awesome entrepreneur launch pad, which Bobby is very well familiar with, because he is part of the leadership team there. And started talking to people, and we started creating some ideas and rolling some ideas in our head about creating and helping people live their story through their business and tell their story in an epic way. And that's the thing, is everybody has an epic story in their lives. They just need to be able to tell it in such a way that's effective for what they're doing in their lives, and make sure that they're aligned with those things that are most meaningful in their life. And their business is also aligned with that, because we can all chase after money. There's money out there to be chased, right? But if we can't align ourselves with something that we really enjoy and are really passionate about, we're never going to have that purpose, that meaning in our life, that things that really builds us and moves us forward. So we are a startup. You're BizBar, but we are a startup with passion, and we're moving forward. And we have that that experience because Emily's been on the creative side as a photographer, and I have been a marketing director for a few small businesses, and I've gotten my undergrad essentially in entrepreneurship. So I am very much
essentially, or you got your undergrad?
I got my undergrad in,
entrepreneurship. It's not essential. Hey man, you take credit for that. Crap,
I should
dude.
Take credit.
You,
for
so,
that.
You take that many years to do it. You should say yes. That's mine. I own it.
You claim that. One of the things I love about Josh is his total commitment to his brand. Even when he fails, it is an epic fail.
Epic fail, yes.
It is. That is commitment to your brand right there. Absolutely. Speaking of which, okay, so I'm going to jump over. We got to come back to what does Biz for Good mean for you, but yep. I think this is a great segue into your epic brand story. So I want to just dig into that. What does brand mean in your mind? When you talk about brand, I know it's one of those terms that's thrown around like entrepreneur, where it means so many things that nobody knows what it means anymore. What does it mean to you when we talk about a brand, either personal or business?
A brand is an image, right? And it's actually a reflection. It's a reflection of you. And it's a reflection of, if you have more than one person in your business and you're more than just a solopreneur, it's a reflection of every single person in your business and the people that make up that business. That's your customers, so your brand is essentially the reflection that you give off to everybody else. And it could be, sometimes it could be a circus mirror those really strange
mirrors. Getting the fun house and you're
getting the fun house. And that's what we're trying to do as your BizBard, is essentially help you to align yourself so that your reflection shows out true.
Yeah, because the crazy thing is you have a brand.
You have a brand.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Now you can either control that brand and put out there what you want to show, like you said, or it's, I just do whatever willy nilly. You know, I'm creating this company. People don't realize how important that brand is.
Or I make myself unauthentic as well in my branding.
Absolutely.
You can definitely do that. And a lot of people do. You personify something else because you're trying to chase after that buyer that has the money. But in reality, we should be focusing on what we truly are first, and then finding
you know, who really resonates with
the
us.
Culture.
Who
the
resonates
culture
with my story? Yeah, the tribe. You talk about tribes quite often.
Absolutely.
You cannot create a tribe if you're not authentic.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Nice. And one of the things I love, you talked that customers are involved in creating a brand. And I think so often business owners would like to pretend, think, I don't know, what's the word to fill in here, that they are completely in charge of their own brand and they sculpt it, nobody else gets to touch it. But it really is a living, breathing thing out there in the world, isn't it?
It definitely is. It's a living thing. Your brand and your brand story is something that's being created. It's something that's been created. It's something that is being created. And it's something that's growing and changing. And your brand and your brand's epic brand story is essentially what you will become. So if you look at yourself, you should be looking at yourself and saying, my brand is what I dream of. It is your dream. So it is something that you may not essentially be at this point, but you dream and you believe in that dream. And that's what makes the story.
That's what makes the difference between somebody that's kind of toiling with the idea of owning a business or thinking about, I want to create something, I've got this idea, and the folks that actually do it. I talk about all the time, the great companies that have got great brands out there went through a lot of hardships, but they had this vision of what they wanted to create.
Yeah, you look at Phil Knight, right?
Absolutely. Shoe dog.
Shoe dog. He was a definite shoe dog. And
it's because he loved shoes.
He loved shoes. He loved running. He was passionate. Yeah. What's their essence of their brand? It's authentic, athletic sportsmanship or authentic athleticism is essentially what they were all about and what they are about today.
Every step of the way, he should have failed and packed it up and went back to accounting, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't give up. He didn't quit, even though everybody's telling him, oh, you're crazy to do this thing. He's living in his little apartment and all that stuff. It's a great story. It's an epic story.
It is an epic story.
And Nike is absolutely an epic brand.
All right. So speaking of epic story, everybody thinks they have a story. What makes a story really epic compared to
not so epic
a story?
Yeah.
It's again, being fully committed to your authentic self, right? If you can tap into that, what the true essence of, it's almost like asking the why question over and over. Why are you doing that? You know,
the Simon Sinek
thing, you know, you start at the center at why, and you really try to understand who you are. And once you understand who you are, what your business is, and if you have multiple people in your business, what are we collectively? And if we can do that, you have the epic brand. You have the epic brand story. It's a matter of telling it. And so if you can tap into that and then learn how to organize your marketing around it, then you can actually create something like a Nike or whatever big brand you admire.
Awesome.
So I think about that. His epic fail story that he just shared with us. That was an epic story. Going out to essentially homestead off the grid.
Youch.
Yeah, Bobby's not a big fan. If anybody can't see his face right now.
My idea of camping is a big old cabin somewhere with a big giant fireplace and heater.
Yeah, my dad roughed it in the Motel 6 growing up. That's how we did father-son campouts. But you look at that, and that is authentic to Josh. That is his story. That's who he is. And so when he tells that story, it is epic. I mean, you think about it, living off-grid, how many people listening to this podcast have ever thought, oh, wouldn't that be cool to live off-grid? How many have done it?
How many have gotten frozen out?
And so we're seeing epic. And the thing, as you've talked about the Bard, you've talked about your biz Bard, you've talked about epic. It makes me think, how many Shakespearean festivals are there around the world every summer that do Shakespearean plays? And sorry, I haven't done my research on this, but Billy Shakespeare has been dead now for 500 years, give or take?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't think I can give you the...
No, probably not that long, but it's been a couple... No,
16-something.
Anyway, couple hundred years. Anybody want to fact check for us, put it in the comments on the show. We'd love to be told we're wrong. But, I mean, he's been gone for a couple hundred years at least. And yet his stories were so epic. They resonated so much.
And it's that emotional connection, right? Anybody really wants to resonate with their buyer and create brand loyalty, you know, people coming back to you because they believe in what you do. It's the connection of the story. It's what you're creating.
Absolutely.
So if you don't have that connection, you get the, I'm going to find the lowest price. I'm just going to go to whoever has the lowest price.
That also brings the brand usually is connected with a person. A lot of the great companies that we know of, it's a person that's connected to it. It's kind of interesting. When we think of Apple, we think of Steve Jobs.
Right.
He didn't create Apple alone. Probably he had a lot less to do with it than a lot of people, but he had the vision and he's connected with that brand.
Despite his being gone now, you still picture him,
think of Steve Jobs.
The black mock turtleneck and the jeans is still
Microsoft
Apple.
Is still the same thing. It's Bill Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think, and I can't remember where I heard this, but I heard this just a while back, that to be have a successful company, you really should have some kind of a leader, some kind of a focused point person. And I think when we talk about brands, you know, a company brand can, it's you can't connect with this generic thing like you can a person sometimes. Do you find when you're growing an epic brand, do you connect it with the person, or are you trying to connect it with the company itself, or do you think they kind of mesh in together?
You can, the thing is you can connect. Think of like Tony Hsieh, right? It's still that one person, but
I think it's shoes.
Zappos.com. Yeah. If you guys don't know Tony Hsieh, he's the founder of Zappos.com. But his story is really unique because, well, and maybe it's not so unique, but the way he went about it and the way he told it was very epic. But he took everybody's core values, or the core values that he wanted around his brand and his image and the story that he was trying to create. And he made sure that his entire company and his culture was a part of that. So it can go and it can be created. It doesn't have to be created. Your brand doesn't have to be created just on one person. Though you are your brand, and as a solopreneur, as you just a startup, you are your brand. So it often goes that way, right? You are your brand. You tell your story. And you are that one person that personifies it. But then it gets bigger than you. You step out of yourself, and your brand, it changes, it grows, it morphs. That why, if you look at Simon Sinek's Simon Sinek's golden circle, it changes and it morphs. You could either move away from the why, but the why can also move away from you. Mm-hmm. And that can happen if you don't align yourself to the core values that your business is creating, and it will get larger than yourself, and you'll find purpose in that. And so chase that story, be a part of that story, and make sure you don't lose track of that.
So we've got the guest who has now pandered to your favorite book right now, and one of my favorite business books in Tony Hsieh's Buying Happiness. Delivering Happiness. But the thing I love about that example with Tony Hsieh is, as you read through his story, the reason he even got into Zappos was, and this is the story of Zappos, is that he had the business that did not have the story, did not have what he wanted. It was technically a success. It did something that better than other people would do it, to the point where Microsoft wanted to buy it from him. But it did not serve him. It did not have the story that he wanted to live. And so when you look at that and you think, you know, Tony Hsieh's, his epic brand story is about values, not so much about him. Because more people, I think Steve Jobs and Apple are synonymous. Zappos and Tony Hsieh, Zappos is bigger than him. He's stayed in the background.
That's true.
But I think with his epic story, it's been, I mean, he told it in his book, Delivering Happiness. His company tells it year after year in their values book that they publish for the employees.
Right.
Every year, this is our epic story. these are the crazy things we have done for customers this year. And I think that's how they promote their epic story.
And it grows their story as they move along. It's a part, the customer is a part of it, mm-hmm. and the employee is a part of that, right?
A part of the struggle, too, makes a difference. I mean, when you're honest and you're open about the struggle.
Honest the about the struggle. What it being took vulnerable.
To create. I mean, that's what yeah. I loved about Shoe Dog, the book.
Yeah.
Is, man, he was very open and honest about the struggle there. And a lot of those, Elon Musk's book, also the biography of Elon Musk, same thing, pretty vulnerable, open. And, there's a lot of things that happened that were not so great.
Right. And that is a part of our story. It gives the connection because we all have struggles. If we are able to be vulnerable and share that information with people, on a very real level, people are like, this is a real person.
I want to
do business with this, yeah. or I want to buy products from real people, not just someone that's trying to get my money.
Especially in the millennial world, we want to be a part of something, not just
definitely
be sold to bought stuff and crap like that. Awesome.
All right, we skipped over the most important question that we ask every guest. We got to yes. come back to that, or that I'm going to be in correct. Trouble. Ryan will make sure that I never guest host again if we skip this question. And that question is, anyone who's a longtime listener, what does Biz for Good mean to you, Josh?
You know, it really is the hashtag, be good, do good. First and foremost, I believe in being good, holding the principles and holding myself up to a better standard in my life, and then going out and allowing myself to try to apply those principles of being good in business and everything. And that's what I think adds value in everybody's life, and that's what you're doing as a business owner. You're trying to add value in some way. I think industry isn't just to make a profit. Industry is to help community.
The masses, yeah.
It's to help people.
Yeah.
And so if we look at that, every single business should be, and that's the only way you're going to make money is if it's valuable. Buyers aren't going to buy it if it's not valuable to them. It's got to add some type of value. And if we can...
I look good in those shoes.
Yeah, I guess...
There's value.
There's value. There's value.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you solve a problem, you will make a profit. If yeah. you set out just to make a profit, you may not solve a problem.
It's going to be a hard road to hoe.
Yeah. And the world is filled with a lot of that, right? It's because you can make money doing that. But is it essentially something that's going to be, we talk about good to great in a lot of, is it, but it is also built to last, you know, using some of these, what is his name again?
Collins.
Yeah.
Jim Collins.
Yeah. Is that something that's going to be built to last? I think the businesses that are built to last.
The great by choice last one too.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. Yeah. I think he's learned along the way in the 20 years of doing those books. He himself has learned quite a bit about that whole process. Some of the companies have went out that were great, and it's just, it's a never ending cycle of learning. No, we don't ever know it all, and business is it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's fun to find a problem and then assist people in fixing it for them. That's just a cool, I love it. It's like a game to me.
Yeah. So doing good after you essentially instill in those in your life, or try to be, none of us are perfect, right? But and we may be trying to do something that's or trying to instill those things and then trying to do good, but we may not know how to do good. But it is that process,
yeah.
as we try and make better, put better things into this world, and we do that through business, through entrepreneurship.
Absolutely, it is good. It isn't just full of evil, warmongering, money hungry, lunatic-y, crazy. And truthfully, even more now. I mean, you know, back at the turn of the century in the 1900 with the Rockefellers and the Carnegies. I mean, yeah, there was quite a bit of battle going on back there. And it was, yes, it was pretty cutthroat and people were killed. I mean, it was hardcore, but I think that was a growing process to find out what they were really trying to make the world better. They were going about it, I think, probably wrong in the fact that they were looking at wealth. But why they succeeded is because it was making the world better.
Yeah, and they were trying to make it better. We're not perfect by any means. Man is not perfect, but we're gonna definitely, if we're trying to make things better, I think it'll eventually work itself out.
And if you really want to be successful in business, look at the thought of the more good you do, the more successful your business will be. I firmly believe that that is a powerful, powerful truth. That the more good you focus on in what you can do with your business, you'll be more successful. And the money comes with success. You know, money is an afterthought. It's nothing. You know, it's really, we give it value because we give it value. But truthfully, it's the good we can do in the world that really makes the difference.
Yeah, and it's so learning to be good, right? Because we all have to learn how to be good, essentially, because we all have tendencies or fallacies in our lives. So can we change those in our lives, and make ourselves learn to be a better person, to be good, and then I think it ultimately turns into doing good.
All right,
awesome.
Well, cool. Let's wrap up with Josh here. I think we got kind of a two ways of going about this last question, and I'm trying to decide which one would be easier for you to look at. But it's either how do you create your epic story, or how can you be your epic brand?
I think they're very similar, very very close. When you create your epic story, you essentially have to be your epic brand, right? It's that reflection.
You have to live it.
Right? Or else it's not going to be an epic story. So
if it's a story you came up with to try and peddle some stuff, it's not going to last very long.
Right. It's not going to. On the other side of the thing, I think another question you can ask is, how do I tell my epic brand story? Right?
That's the question that I meant to ask. Let's go with that.
And that is a very, very real question for businesses. They're very passionate about something that they have a dream that they want to create, and they know within their heart this is what they need to do. But how did they make that happen? Through getting people involved and telling it to the world and building that brand, that tribe, as you often talk about, mm-hmm. Bobby. And that is essentially where we often fall off. And I say it's because we aren't organizing ourselves. We aren't organizing our marketing and making sure that we're creating a system that actually moves our big objectives, our business objectives forward. We often get into our small businesses and we're in the grunt work and we're on the level and we forget to start planning these things. I'm planning to create this dream and I lose sight of that dream when I don't plan for it and I don't create a system around how I'm going to tell this story. So first, I think that's something very important, is you got to recognize that you have an epic brand story and really get down and understand it on a very, very precise way. You have to have that precise language down, the exact language that you're going to be using and saying to people.
Not all storytellers are good storytellers.
Right, right.
And sometimes it comes down to the specifics of how to tell that story.
Right.
And I think that's what your BizBard is all about, is how to connect them digitally in telling their real brand story.
Right, right, exactly. So we first get that essence out of them, and then we organize their marketing. A lot of people don't understand, you have a marketing program that has an objective for your overall objective for your business, what's going to help you accomplish that dream. And then you start creating the buyer personas and the channels that you're going to be working in. And then you start building the campaigns within those channels. You don't just go in and say, I'm going to post a bunch of things on social media and expect it to go viral or something. Right? So there's some planning involved in that. And then once you have that planning,
make some action steps, and you make those action steps to create essentially what is the content, the pieces of your story is the content that you create. You go out and you give a talk, that's a piece of content that helps to tell your story. You go out and you write a blog post, and that's a piece of content that's telling your story. And you make sure that those objectives and the pieces of content are well organized, and that's how you promote your brand.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So how do we get a hold of Josh Prieto, Your Biz Bard?
There's several ways. We again are a startup, so we're working on our website, but you can come visit it and give us some critiques on it. It's yourbizbard.com.
And that's B-I-Z Bard?
B-I-Z and B-A-R-D.com, yourbizbard.com. And you can also just reach me on my personal blog. It's joshuapaulprieto.com. And my wife, as a photographer, has her photography website, emilyprieto.com. There's a few ways that you can reach out to us. And
we'll make sure to put that also on the site.
Great,
on the
great.
Biz for Good Show site. Thank you, Josh, so much. Joshua, for being on the Biz for Good Show. You're a great guest. He's doing amazing things. I'm excited to see what Josh is going to create out there.
Now, can I do a quick cross promote for him really quick before we end up?
Sure.
I guess since you don't edit much,
that's
easy
right.
to do. Josh is going to be presenting at EFL 360. This afternoon. So if you're watching the live stream here, you can switch over in about an hour from now, and you can catch him. This is a busy man we've got here. This is a tough interview to line up.
Yeah.
But he's going to be talking about, correct me where I'm wrong, but the seven steps. Is that right?
The seven steps to telling an epic brand story.
Epic
so kind of a lot about what we've been talking here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you can hop over there and catch more at EFL 360.
EFL360.com or EFL360 Facebook or EFL360 Twitter or stuff like that.
Just look for EFL360 wherever social media is sold.
Yeah, there you go. All right, everybody. Hashtag
be good, do good.
Hashtag
be good, do good.
Hashtag
be good, do good.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good Show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.